Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, there we go. God,
someday, someday, he'll get rid of it. But like you said, it'll be the week before Halloween this year. He'll get rid of it.
Music. Oh, brother, welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Today is 5. Yeah, that was me opening a malt beverage, damn it. Today is 5/17/23. Hope everybody out there listening is doing fantastic. I'm your host, Dave Atwell, here in relatively mild Jacksonville. Pretty decent night out here. I'm hoping the bugs don't carry me off. I know we're getting ready for some major rain event over the next couple of days. Nevertheless, I think it's going to got everything nice, cool, kind of high 60s, nice little gentle breeze blowing. So kicking around to my esteemed panel so we can get on the road, on the way, rolling forward with tonight's topic matter. It's going to be a fun show tonight. Starting off from the nefarious state of Indiana that's planning an invasion of the outlying states and quite possibly the entire country and the capital of said state, Indianapolis, and its outlying regions, where the buffalo roam, the pool is clear, and the alpaca cook meth to make extra money on the side. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. The alpacas are going to have a hell of a weekend this weekend because they're getting sheared. They just love that. So, yeah, we're going to get the 3 alpacas sheared this weekend. It's going to be a busy Saturday.
Well, I guess the alpaca won't be the only ones getting some trim.
Oh, boy.
Well, whoever's in that category, good for them. God knows the rest of the thing.
The worst part about watching this go down, and quite frankly, we have to participate. It's an interactive day, but the worst part about it is watching them get their teeth trimmed. It's just it sends shivers down my spine. I'm like, oh my God, but their teeth, they don't stop growing. So it's kind of wild watching them when they do that. But other than that, we're looking forward to it. They just clip it almost like you would, except they use a heavy-duty pair of, like, almost like cutters, you know, like pliers or like shears of some sort, and they're just trimming them off like their fingernails, you know, and it's like,
Oh, wow.
I just can't imagine that, but anyway, so, yeah, the weather's getting nicer. You know it's getting nice out when it's shearing time. Looking forward to a good show tonight. That's all I got.
Outstanding. Great to have you aboard. So before I kick it over to our fantastic anchorman, I've got to know, man, what do you do with alpaca fur?
Oh, man, sock it to me, big brother.
It can, I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to ship it off to someone who will clean it and then spin it, make it into yarn, and then that actually is pretty expensive. Now, you don't really get a profit like that unless you're going with, I don't know, at least 20 maybe alpacas would be my guess. But we have 3, and you got to pay money just to get it spun. So by the time we go through all that and then pay to have them sheared and all that, we're not, you know, we aren't going to profit anything. In fact, I don't think we've ever sold it. We gave some to one of our nieces, and she made some cool stuff. She made somebody a sweater, if I recall. But, no, it's actually, there's a lot of people that have alpaca farms, and that's what they do. They get them sheared, and then they sell that off. So, yeah,
it's
actually
supposed
pretty expensive
to be more comfortable and just as warm as wool.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it stands to reason that alpacas get sheared just because of the hair output, like llamas and sheep. And don't they shave camels,
right,
too, to a certain extent? I think, but I would
probably
think that some of the hair might be too coarse or something to that effect for, you know, apparel. But, yeah, that's wild, dude. I didn't know that. Yeah, it just kind of hit me when you were talking about getting them sheared. I was like, yeah, what do they do with all that? They throw it in the burn pile or they make wigs out of it?
It's kind of a wild
or
operation. So they have, there's three different categories, since you're asking. They have, well, they just refer to them as firsts, seconds, and then thirds. But sometimes people don't really keep the thirds. They just trash it. I don't remember what that would, I think, if you take the thirds, which is the rougher stuff, that is, I think, what you would make, like, dryer balls out of. And we have some of those. But the first would be, if I'm not mistaken, kind of goes around the belly area. It's real super soft, real nice fleece there. And then the seconds might be around the shoulders and such. And I can't remember. I think the neck is also seconds. And then the thirds, the crap that no one really cares about, is kind of up and down the legs. And then probably some other areas too. But, yeah, it's a pretty cool operation.
Probably the kind that's got the little turd balls in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, the stuff up around their balls and all that jazz. So, and Todd, not trying to put you behind the alpaca herd, but this got my curiosity up. So, these guys
who
shear...
It's no problem.
These guys who shear alpacas, isn't that kind of dangerous stuff, man? Aren't alpacas kind of ornery and shit?
They are, but it wouldn't be nearly as bad as dealing with, like, horses or something. Horses scare the shit out of me. We had a pony here. And, I mean, those things can F you up. You know what I mean? And these can, too. I've been kicked. It's just as physical for us, if not more so, because we have to figure out how to get them up there and lure them because they hate this stuff. They absolutely hate it.
Oh, really?
So they're probably about – they probably got about 10 to 15 years on us. But they've been doing this, you can tell – I don't know about their whole lives, but they know what they're doing. So he'll grab them, he'll pick them up, but they also, it's kind of cool. They have the way this table works is they, and you can probably find videos really if you want to see it on YouTube, but they walk the alpaca up to the table and then they kind of like hold them there in place. And you've got a team of people. I mean, it takes, that's why we're so involved in it. So they have this sheet that they, it's like you basically hold them in place, then the table, like, they're kind of like leaning up against it at first, and then you pivot the table, like the wall of it, if you will, so it spins, so then they're basically on a table. And that's when it's the responsibility of the people on the end to loop their hooves in like a rope, and then basically it pulls on them real tight. It looks painful. It looks like you're torturing them. It really does. But they're just kind of freaking out because they don't know what the hell is going on, you know. So but it's a pretty wild operation. They get sheared while their legs are basically being stretched. Looks like they're in a torture machine. And then when they're all done, there's a set of operations you go through to release them. You got to be sure they're held down, and then you flip it again. So it's basically like they're leaning up against the wall, and then you let them go, and next one in. Pretty cool stuff.
I'll be damned. Yeah, because that's when you're sitting there getting ready to get your colonoscopy, you get that moment of reflection where you go, you know what? Where did this doctor decide to just one day say, hey, I want to jam nine irons up people's asses for a living, make six figures doing it? Just take in mind that somebody rolled over in bed one morning and said, you know what? I feel like shaving alpacas for a living. And What even makes it even more incredible and admirable is the fact that they went through the trouble of going out and finding a significant other who has the same interest in shaving alpacas and actually made a couple out of it. So that's pretty damned incredible right there. I'm digging it down. Just when
there's got to be some sort of dating site, some variation of, you know, bestiality, alpaca S&M or some trash.
Alpaca shaving love that tum.
Yeah, I have no idea what the background is, but I'm willing to bet one probably grew up on a farm doing it. You know, they probably were doing it for their parents or something like that. That's my thought.
It brings to mind a 1970s phrase, here come the fuzz.
Yes. The fuzz. So, damn, that's pretty good. We need to do a show on alpaca care. Just let Tim run with it. So before we go deeper into the alpaca hole, hailing.
From that same
rogue city of Indianapolis, my good brother and anchorman, Todd, how are you doing, brother?
Not bad. Just to follow the theme so far here. Doing outstanding to supernatural. I'm ecstatic to be here. Oh, Lord, man. Just not the turn. That tangent did not take long.
No,
it didn't. Boy, if we're pulling the wool over someone's eyes on that, man.
You know, it's funny, though, because a lot of that stuff that goes on the farm, man, for the average Joe, I mean, you know, take, for instance, like pigs. They grow tusks, you know what I mean? And they actually got to have those things filed down. And when you see this stuff where they just hold these animals down, and when you hear, hey, they're getting them filed down, you figure that's a term more than anything else. And dude comes walking around with this big-ass metal file that something's made out of damn iron. Looks like something you damn put up a log cabin with or, you know, carve a canoe with or some shit. He puts his boar in a headlock and just sits there, chicken, 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 chicken. And you're like, holy shit, man. He's actually filing that damn, you know, that tusk down. What in the hell? So, yeah, there's got to be a lot of stuff that goes into...
No, I did not know about the alpaca and their teeth, you know, and it got me to wondering about that. What are they chewing on in the wild that might make the difference for them in the whole nine yards?
Yeah, I mean, they mainly just graze.
Depending on what they're grazing on, they might be chewing a few rocks here and there, that kind of thing, but... Man, that would
Files them down naturally or something like that. But yeah, that's because you know alpacas, they've got those. They almost got like the beaver teeth, don't they? Where they got the two big ass ones on the bottom and the two big ass ones up top.
To see on the top. There's mainly two. There's two real big old teeth that come up from the bottom. They're hideous, man. It's like, damn, get some braces, dude. Just something about that grill. And then furthermore, when they start sitting at each other, they can unlock their jaws, and then it just looks all messed up because they get that jaw unlocked to, you know, when they're getting ready to do some battle. The idea is they go for each other's throats, and they'll actually try to lock onto. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. We got to shoot them off of each other. Yep. Yep. They get pretty feisty with one another. But
I'll be damned. All right, so my homework assignment for the week.
I get kind of picked on at work by a couple people because they're like, you don't have a real farm. And these are people with real farms, by the way. You know, horses, whatever, taking care of the whole nine yards. And I'm like, yeah, I never claimed I did have a farm. It's a few hobby animals, you know, whatever. But I have earned some kind of a title, because one thing that I have done, you reminded me of this when you were talking about, you know, filing stuff down and everything. I think that I got my points when I had to saw off the horn of a goat because it had curved around and was about to pierce. It was basically kind of piercing into his skull, or was going to. Like, it was touching his head. And it needed to be cut. And so I had no other choice but to go out there. I wasn't going to pay hundreds of dollars to have somebody come and do it. So I just went out there, grabbed him, slammed him up against so I could kind of support. So he went up against a post, if you will, that was in the ground. And I just kind of locked him up as best as I could. And I went to town with a hacksaw on his horn. And it was a little wild, a little traumatizing, because there's some kind of circulation going on there. There was blood coming out. But I don't know if was how many nerves or anything through there. But I just kept telling myself that it was, you know, he wasn't feeling a whole lot of pain. He just didn't like being there. But I don't know. There was some liquid coming out. So, I had to cut that sucker off, and that was pretty wild. So,
wow.
Put that on reality.
Yeah, because some antlers are cartilage-based, and then some are, like, matted hair-based. That's like if you've ever seen, like, an elk or a moose or, like, a big buck shed their antlers. It's wicked as hell because they're just walking along and they kind of get a lurch in their shoulders and they shake their head, kind of like your dog when it's out in the rain. And the next thing you know, ba-blam, this whole damn rack of antlers just falls off to the ground and they just keep right on getting about their merry way. But then, antelope and everything, that's all matted hair. So they don't really have, they're not really antlers. I don't know if they'd be deemed as horns or antlers or what, but yeah. Because I can tell you, those longhorn steer, if you go to Myrtle Beach, they've got a zoo down there where you actually feed the animals. It's more like a ranch than it is a zoo, but you can, and the animals are real docile, and they'll come up to you, and, you know, for a $5 donation, you get a Ziploc bag full of peanuts. Raw peanuts, and you'll go around and feed. They got like bison there, zebras, you know, that kind of stuff. And they'll walk right up to you and open their mouth like a damn toll booth, and you put the peanut in their mouth and they'll crunch it. And like the zebras, they'll kind of hoof the side of the fence saying, hey, give me another one. But You don't understand the size of a damn bison's horns or the damn longhorn steer and all that jazz until you see one of these suckers up, you know, in person. And some big ass damn horns, man. Hey, no joke.
Yeah. Dude, you do remember those used to cover the hoods of the big ass old Caddies and Buicks and Lincolns and shit back in the day, and those were hoods you could put a regulation damn basketball court on. People forget how big those freaking hoods were.
Yeah, there was some big-ass cars back in the day, like the old Huggy Bear Thunderbirds and that kind of stuff. You had about a mile of hood before you finally got to the driver's seat, which is the kind of car I like. Ever since I got in that car wreck in 96 and they told me the only reason why I lived is because of the car I was driving, ever since then I'm like, yeah, I need a lot of hood. Need a lot of hood, a lot of engine up front, and I'll drive it. Anyhow, we need to go back and address this alpaca thing one night, man. All of a sudden, we've just gone down the alpaca hole, and it's, that's wicked shit.
I'm all for it.
Anyhow.
I'll have my facts.
Yeah, we need to get the alpaca facts. There we go. That kind of has a little alliteration for you. Alpacafacts.com. Let's go ahead and buy the Dr. John's probably buying the .com right now, listening to the show. He's going to throw Alpaca Fest, Alpaca.com. I don't know which one's easier to say. Anyhow, moving on to tonight's show. Tonight's show, we're going to have some fun. I'm sure
when it gets back to the alpacas, sorry, just one last thing on the alpacas, we could even, you know, while I'm doing the show, we get a bunch of us and have like a picnic out there and then, you know, alpaca lunch.
Yes. Oh, nice. Need to save that one for the Father's Day show.
He was, I thought he, I thought sure he was going to say he was going to interview him for the show, but we know the only answer they give us is Dad.
Damn. Yes. You'll have to alpaca lunch for everybody. Hell yeah.
I like it.
Very good.
I
Tonight's show. We've been on here before talking about music, and seeing that all three of us here, we enjoy our music and everything. We often have good shows with this. So tonight, we're going to kind of turn things around a little bit. Tonight, we are going to talk about popular music groups that everybody loves, except for me. So if there's a music group that everybody else out there digs, but you don't get it, tonight is the show. So if you gents don't mind, there's a couple painfully obvious ones out there. I'm sure we'll hit those as we go tonight. But I want to lead things off, if you don't mind, just so I can get this one off my chest, because it happened to me today. I swear, every day, and I've got Sirius Radio, and I'm banging through the damn 248 different channels, and I swear to you, every goddamn station was playing a song from this group today. And I'm like, God, they cannot be this popular because they suck. And that group, and I've seen these guys live, is none other than Bon Jovi. I cannot for the life of me, and don't get me wrong, these guys got a ton of talent, and they're very, very popular, and they're very successful from their ability. I just cannot get my arms around their music. And I don't know if it's his voice where it's, you know, I guess this time you're really leaving. I don't know if it's his voice or if it's just the bubblegum rock or what, but God damn, the only song of theirs that really resonates to me was their first hit, and that was Runaway. Runaway
is badass. See, and that's one of the few Bon Jovi songs that if it comes on the radio, I'm okay with. There's a couple, three, that I'm okay with. But there is so much, and I'm like, God, again? Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'll build on that. You're back. So, yeah, there's one song in particular. I don't know if it's really the name of it, and quite frankly, I don't care, but it's where he busts out into the chorus, it's my life, now or never, something like that. It starts off with that stupid-ass auto-tune crap or whatever, that weird crap, and I swear, every time I hear it on the radio, which is quite often because apparently everybody loves it, I tell Kim, it's like, I swear they tried to auto-tune some guy having a stroke or something. It's just like, it's like a dog vomiting out in the yard, and they took it and auto-tuned it. That's all I can get out of my head. I hate that song.
And yeah, that's definitely not – I don't get the airplay with that. I get that was kind of a time thing. But no, I'm with you on that one. I don't necessarily really, you know, I can't stand them, but I don't get real excited by them either, if that makes sense. And not at all.
To country music with that damn song about that, because you can't go home And I can't remember, they got the damn, I always say, Borat. I'm trying to remember how it goes, but it says you can't go home. Who says you can't go back? And it's like, God, Jesus H, man. Can I just die before this song's up? Don't make me go through the rest of this damn thing. And I remember when Slippery When Wet came out. I think I was a junior or senior in high school when Slippery When Wet came out, the album. And the first tune off it was You Give Love a Bad Name. And when I heard it for the first time, I was like, God damn, this song freaking rocks. But then I heard it like 7 to 8 billion times in a 48-hour period. And I said, you know.
Yeah, but they kill a lot of tunes like that with the damn, you know, the radio did back in the day.
Right. Because, you know, airtime was being bought. That was the Michael Jackson thing. I'm sure I would like a lot more Michael Jackson music if it wasn't the goddamn force-fed back in the 80s and 90s. But, and then they had that song from Young Guns that was fairly good. But that was one that didn't age well. That was a good song when I was 18. But
that's definitely one of those ones that I didn't like it at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely. Bon Jovi, to all the Bon Jovi fans out there, and I know there's millions of them, I am sorry. And it was live? They were awful live. I saw them at the Dean Dome back in 89, I think it was, 89 or 90. They were absolutely abysmal. That concert was, and Skid Row opened for them, and I actually went to go see Skid Row. I wanted to see Skid Row because that was right after
they
Youth Gone Wild came out.
They never
before they
impressed
the mainstream.
Me, but I seen them live.
And, but man, I mean, Jesus, they were just, Bon Jovi just, yeah. And what's the damn one they always, Johnny used to work on the docks. That one's another
Living
one.
On a Prayer.
You gotta hold on to what we got. Like, Jesus, if there's ever a good time to have a stroke, it's when a Bon Jovi time and drop Bon Jovi songs playing just so you can damn forego the rest of their damn music.
The kids change the lyrics of that to Squidward on a chair if you're a SpongeBob person.
On a chair. What are you saying? SpongeBob, you remember that talk we had about personal space? Anyhow, Bon Jovi's leading it off. Gentlemen, who wants to go next?
Bruno Mars.
Don't fight. Bruno. Yes. Talk about overplaying. Please, tell us in on how much you can't stand Bruno.
I can't stand everything about that person. And I think that's just more of like the whole genre these days. Call me, you know, old-fashioned, whatever, but I like guitar music and stuff, you know, stuff that matters, like actual musicians. But this day and age, it's just all this garbage, all this, you know, the, I guess if you want to try to call it pop or whatever, I don't know. But Bruno Mars is one of those. Like, I don't even think he's good. Like, there's songs that come on the radio, and it's like, to me, it's nails on a chalkboard. There's one, like, I'm not even going to attempt to try to mock him because it'll make me want to vomit just because it's in my head. But I want to turn it off, but the problem is everybody else loves this dude. And I started bashing him at work, and even there were, like, grown men who were talking like, well, what do you got against Bruno Mars? And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like, no, and I just had to walk away. I'm like, no, give me a break. No. And then he did the halftime show during the Super Bowl. He was doing the halftime show. That's been probably, maybe like 7 years or so, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But it was,
I quit watching football over a decade ago, or any sports over a decade ago.
Yeah, I couldn't watch it. Right? It was when I started. I haven't been able to tolerate the halftime show for a while. They had Prince was good. They probably had a couple. Who did this last one? I can't even remember that.
I
don't know.
God knows. Because the one before was Snoop and Jay-Z and Eminem and 75 Cent. And wasn't the year before The Weeknd or The Weeknd or whatever his name is? I genuinely cannot remember who the hell did it this year.
Yeah.
Because the last
anyway.
One for me was the J-Lo Shakira one. I thought they actually did good, despite the obvious reasons why I enjoyed the show.
Right.
I thought they actually threw down and did good. I liked it. Like I said, you know, there were obvious motivations behind it. Who wouldn't want to watch J-Lo and Shakira do a halftime special after drinking several beers and filling yourself up with damn Tostitos and shit like that? I mean, yeah. Yeah, I'm all for it. Hell, I can watch Shakira when I'm stone sober. Who was it last year? That's how memorable it was. I can't remember who the hell it was.
Right. Right.
But, yeah, Bruno Mars and that damn, was it Downtown Funk, Uptown Funk, Uptown Girl, or whatever the hell that song is?
Yeah.
Oh, my aching ass, dude. Is there any place that you can go where they don't play that? I mean, they play it in the dentist office.
Not.
They play it at the grocery store. They play it at baseball stadiums. It's like, dude, can I just please get away from this goddamn song?
Yes.
Yeah. Bruno Mars. Good call, Tim. Good start, dude. Couldn't agree with you more on that one. Hot damn. Todd. I'm going to swat it over the air to you, man. Let's see what you got.
Oh, I'm trying to sit here and even remember the name of the band, and it finally pulled up the dam. And they were big for a while. I don't think they even make the air anymore, which is yay. But they were huge. Was Creed.
No.
They were massively popular around the Human Clay album, right?
Right.
And I think Yuki will even back this shit up. Seriously, we always had some somewhat different music tastes, although, you know, some of it was common, that kind of thing. But we're a station at the time. I'd go in and cut commercials for the radio station, shit like that. And they'd hook me up with tickets. And, dude, so Yuki was digging Creed. I'm like, okay, I don't get it at all. So we went to the show, and the opening band kicked their ass.
Really?
And, oh, my God, yes. Collective Soul opened for them. Just crushed them live. Just friggin' crushed them live. And probably, they don't even play. I feel like Collective Soul's got some cuts that don't even make the airwaves. You know, it's ridiculous. And, of course, one song got basically blackballed. Because of that damn one shooter. Creed just never got it, never really impressed by them. And they, to paraphrase Ted Knight, sucks.
Creed always seemed to be like a damn bubblegum version of Pearl Jam to me. It's almost like they were trying to get the Pearl Jam sound, but it was kind of a school grade, because they had that damn, what was the song they were playing the hell out? It was, God knows. Oh, with
I'm sure it was off the Human Clay album. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. With Butt Wide Open. Yeah, that song. And Creed, yeah. The hell with those guys, man. And you don't hear anything out of them now. They've, like,
damn
just totally, Yeah, breaking my heart as we speak. And you had to suffer through a live performance for that. So,
Think Yuki wanted to leave before they were done. I think Yuki actually decided to leave before they were done. Yeah, it was this whole true story. I feel like I really told it before, so I apologize. Unlike some folks, you don't have to tell the same story every week. The so we went to the show, and again, Collective Soul, they were just so, we're happy to be here, let's have a good time together, that kind of stuff. And they were just having a blast out there, and you were having fun with them, and now just for the record, it wasn't one of those issues there where lighting was effed up or the sound technicians were not on their game, that kind of thing. Pretty legit that, you know, stuff wasn't too distorted and yeah. So all that stuff was all on par. And again, Yuki, we ended up leaving before the show was completely over, and I knew it was still important for her, and I kind of chalked that off. She was pregnant at the time, so maybe I chalked part of it off to her being pregnant. Talked to the radio station guys, and they had one of those little mini CDs, kind of like the equivalent of the 45s in the CD era. Right? Like they would give to the radio stations. So we had a promotional CD with a single on it and brought it home for Yuki, and she was like, yeah, okay, I don't like Creed anymore. I like Collective Soul. True frickin', she just, here I'm thinking I got her something cool, and how'd that work out for me, you ask? Not real good.
Yeah, I am totally with you. They're awful. It's another group that I just could not sink my teeth into, but yet they were getting played over and over because there was another song that they had with the Butt Wide Open song, but they had another song. But it seemed like
Eyes Wide Open, something like that.
Yeah, and there had to have been some inspirational point to every damn song they had. I'm like, dude, can't you guys just freaking rock? You know, come on, man. You know, Van Halen put out 4 albums with songs about nothing, and they rocked the hell out. And, you know, you get on there with all this inspirational bullshit. Like, come on, dude. Please.
Well, I feel like you don't really listen to some of their early lyrics, aside from the obvious girl stuff and all that. I mean, they were.
But you know what I mean? Like, Running with the Devil. There's really, I mean, it's a great tune, but it doesn't have, like, a direct point. Ice Cream Man doesn't have a direct point. We understand the point behind it. It's a great tune. The lyrics are all over the place. You know, Little Dreamer.
Little Dreamer, the unrealized potential. That actually probably one of their better freaking cuts. Still one of my
Little
favorite tunes on that album.
Yeah, that whole lead
just,
in with that.
Does not get the airplay it deserves.
Not at all.
I believe
but
I.
You know, Van Halen,
I wouldn't even
care
with the first word with Ice Cream Man. Even that's one that had the real badass guitar solo and stuff in it. Kind of like a bluesy feel to
it. It was very bluesy.
Yeah.
Little Dreamer is bluesy as shit.
Yeah, that song
is
terrible, dude. And like you said, it doesn't get the airplay it should. But, you know, Van Halen was music you played at the beach. It was fun music. It was music that you partied to. It was music you had a good time.
Tell me Beautiful. You know, Beautiful Girls to me is still a beach. Well, you know, obviously it was a beach song with the lyrics and stuff like the bum in the sun having fun. And Yeah, it's just,
you know, everybody wants some, Ice Cream Man, I Can't Wait to Feel Your Love Tonight. All those songs were just fun, party, rock out kind of songs. But with Creed, it seemed like every song they put out had to have some type of spiritual, damn emotional meaning to it. I'm like, dude.
Well, that was part of their shtick.
Yeah.
That was like, part of their shtick. So, yeah.
Now, that was a good call, Todd, and I agree with you on that one, too. So far, we've been batting 1,000 on it. Where
I don't
all
think
three
Jim actually offered an opinion. Do you not know them well enough, or you're in a contrarian opinion?
No, I pretty much concur. That song that you're referencing is one where I'm not, like, dying to change the channel, but I would prefer a channel change. That song doesn't do anything for me. I probably don't know enough. Like, I probably can't just associate and go, oh, yeah, Creed songs are this, 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 and this. So, but from what I know, what you're telling me, I'd fully concur. I don't disagree for sure.
Yeah, I so tuned them out. It took me from the time in the green room that I heard the subject to remember the title of the album of the tour that we went with to go see them, to be able to look them up, and it was while, man, I mean, it was while we were wrapping up Bon Jovi that I sussed it out. I think actually as Tim had brought some stuff up. It's just, brutal. All right, sorry, guys.
No, that's a good call, though. I mean, that's good first round, guys, because, I couldn't agree more at all with the first round of call-outs between Bruno, Creed, and Bon Jovi. Yeah, all three of them. Write the lyrics on a roll of toilet paper, give it a flush, baby. So, this group right here, to me, had one good song, and even that song was marginal, but what makes the band, I don't dig their music to start with, but makes it even worse is their fan base. Their fan base is the same as a New York Yankees fan or a damn Los Angeles Dodger fan, a Dallas Cowboy fan, okay?
Oh, damn, Dodgers just made the news. My news feed today, but yeah, I'm interested to see where this will go.
Is the Dave Matthews Band. Dave Matthews, those guys.
Okay.
Whoever told those guys they rock? I mean, who in the hell? Who was it? Who's responsible for this shit? Who was the guy who pushed the button on this and said, yeah, these guys are excellent? They. Oh, my God. And they broke out into the scene with that damn What Would You Say, and which is a, you know, fairly rocking song. It ain't bad. But then it just went straight to hell from there. And it's like everywhere you turn, this guy's singing something. And he sings it off key. And I guess you had to be there. I guess you've got to be a particular fan to enjoy it. But their fan base, man, if you trip over somebody who actually likes the Dave Matthews Band, which is, you know, not a diamond in the rough.
I would just say, are they not a yuppie band?
Well, that would probably be a fair assumption. If you eat a lot of greens and not a lot of protein, you probably like the Dave Matthews Band. If you drink with a pinky up and it's perhaps made out of sparkling water and or seltzer, you probably like the Dave Matthews Band. And I think that's the reason why I just can't take them. And that damn Satellite song, everywhere I go. You remember I was talking about how they play it in the dentist office and the grocery store and everywhere you go?
Oh, God. All right. You just gave me my next fan.
That damn Satellite song haunts my soul. Everywhere I go, I hear that satellite in my eyes. And I'm like, oh, God, please take my hearing. I can't do it. God, Jesus, just saying it hurts. Dave Matthews Band, I say no more. If y'all want to damn go ahead and add to it, fine. If not, we move on to who's giving those assholes enough air. Kim, you're up.
Oh, I'm going to preempt them. I'm going to preempt them. Georgia Satellites.
Oh. I've got to admit, though, I do like the damn the one, the big hit they had with the no huggy, no kissy. That tune right there, the drunker you get, the better that one sounds. I mean, that was a fairly good song, but outside of that, I can't tell you.
Part of it might have been the too heavy an airplay thing. I get it. Oh, for God's sake, it felt like that. I remember when and where as far as hearing them, and they were popular, but it just, and no, that's not going to, Georgia Satellites, nope, not just no, but nope, and I don't know, got a couple analogies to slide on here. I understand that they like a lot of those bands, they have a pretty solid cult following in that, and I don't know how long they continue to put out music, but I'll do this with the Dave Matthews Band. Apparently they continue to write stuff, and it's all consistent, even if it's not, how do you say that? It's not like you're going to listen to an album and hear, oh my God, this was a standout hook or this was a standout thing or whatever. Because to me, you know, one of the exact opposites, people just don't get Steely Dan because those mofos could write. Bill Fripp posted something tonight, and I just went with the old boy's nickname, and Bill was tracking that I was tracking. I'm going to tell you a band that I feel like got screwed. Where Dave Matthews, they're just very like what it is. And, you know, they kind of keep pushing the same window. They never shift their paradigm. I think Survivor, on the other end, is underrated, but I think they had a somewhat Journey-esque thing that everybody kind of saw them pseudo-like Journey's more pop-esque songs. Where I think Survivor probably has a better overall layout than some people think.
Yeah, Survivor.
I'm not necessarily a Survivor fan, but I think there's just like, do you realize how many good songs they wrote? It's just the problem is you hear this song, you say, oh, I hear, you know, that's a Rocky movie. Oh, that sounds like Journey, that kind of stuff.
Well, they went through that lead singer change in between Eye of the Tiger and the Burning Heart song from Rocky IV. And the guy, as a matter of fact, the guy who sang Eye of the Tiger, I can't remember the lead singer's name when he was there. You know those damn Bud-Light commercials or Budweiser commercials about real men of genius? Men of genius, and you got the guy who invented the phone number one finger. The guy who sings on that is the lead singer from Survivor. The guy who sang "Eye of the Tiger." That's what he did. But when they switched it over to the other guy, the dark haired dude, he kind of had more of a higher pitch, and like you were talking about Journey, he had almost like a Steve Perry kind of pitch to his voice. And it kind of, I think it kind of made the music sound different, even though the music itself, the composition seemed the same and, you know, it was good. But I think the vocals kind of steered it. And,
you know, that,
but,
that might be what part of that was. But again, they were Matthews-esque in their consistency of the way they wrote. They could have some
right.
stuff with some edge, and, well, not that Matthews really has an edge, but, yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but Survivor doesn't suck, and that's where they separate themselves.
There it is. And somehow, airplay-wise, they do.
There lies the mystery ingredient. No, I'm not a Dave Matthews fan, boys and girls. So just in case you were wondering, no, I
am
not.
And let me go back to, just for the record, the whole bottom line here. That was actually a plug for Survivor and a shot at, but, you know, I slid in an extra shot at Dave Matthews. And Georgia Satellites, thumbs down. In fact, I'm not so mean as to say a Taco Bell bowel movement, but maybe a McDonald's bowel movement.
At least a Whopper, yeah.
Oh, my God, came up with a new rating system. Fast food bowel movement rating system.
Yes. Yes, we'll have to use that now. Because, like,
nice.
Sonic.
You're welcome, and I apologize, all in the same sentence.
Despite the fact that Sonic is delicious, I don't know what it is about their chow. I only rent it out. I don't actually buy it because I'll eat the hell out of some Sonic, and 45 minutes later, I'm reading a book. It's, yeah. Good call, though, on that, man. We're going to have to establish that, a fast food poop ratio rating system. Well done. Tim, I'm going to take it your way, dude. Hit me with another group.
Yeah, try to top that, Mr. Alpaca.
That's right.
All right. Well, I guess since we're basically making a show out of this, I'll go ahead and backpedal and tell on myself and be the man to be have tomatoes thrown at me and claim it's probably a generational thing, but for a moment in time, I was a pretty big Dave Matthews fan. Now,
so
this
almighty.
Was in my college days. And
there
I do
it
think
is.
I do think
Tim,
was,
just for the record, I'll buy the generational thing. But also, I know pieces of your background where I would say it doesn't not fit your college time, stuff like that.
Yeah.
At
but,
least you're repentant. That's good.
Well, the thing, see, I've got a couple of different opposing sides to it. So I can, you know, tell on myself and basically cough it up front there, right? And then I can kind of build on maybe it was.
Did you just build a cat?
Yes, I.
Did you just do a build a cat act flip up front?
And I think that over time, especially when I went to a Dave Matthews concert, I think that's where a few light bulbs went off on my head. And I was like, you know what? This is kind of like going to be one of the reasons why I don't like Dave Matthews. And it was just because of the overall, I think you kind of even touched on it, the fan base. And
yeah,
although, as Todd's trying to point out, maybe I had a few traits at the time that would have been, you know, common traits of especially that crowd, whatever, but I wasn't into that kind of crowd. And again, when I say generational thing, here I was probably high schoolish, going off to college. I didn't really know who the hell they were. I heard a couple songs on the radio. Friends of mine were kind of like, you know, you just know how there's a song on the radio, you just kind of move your head to it. And I was still in that vulnerable phase where you tend to go with just about anything that's on the radio. So I was kind of like, you know what? It actually sounded different. That's, I think, what started it off, is it just sounded different, kind of just like a low. It wasn't like headbanging music. It wasn't rap. I sure as hell didn't want to hear country. It was a break from, you know, rock and roll, and it was just kind of a different sound. And I was like, I can dig this, just kind of like a mellow background music, if you will. And so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I started into it. Now, I'm also going to say this. So there's the whole, I kind of began losing interest as I realized, you know, the rest of the crowd, and I'm just kind of like listening to it from a different angle. I'm like, I don't know about all this. But one thing that I always wanted to hear in person was him do the Watchtower, All Along the Watchtower. Yes, it's a cover. I suppose if you hate him, it's probably one of your least favorite songs, because you don't want to hear a band that you think sucks cover a song that's really, really awesome to begin with. Well, for me,
you do realize the original was not all that.
It's still iconic,
Tower.
I think. Yeah, it's still kind of iconic. I think it's iconic, you know? I mean,
well, it's only iconic because Jimmy's version was that good.
Yeah, Hendrix put that song on the
map. It's only iconic because Jimmy's version is that good. But old boy his version was not all that in the no.
Yeah,
totally.
I think it's more of, you got to think of the lyrics. And here again, I'm going to go with the generational thing, because I totally agree with you. I don't disagree with you one bit. In fact, Jimi Hendrix, my ignorant dumb self, probably believed for a couple of years that Hendrix wrote the fucking song. Sorry, pardon my French, on a podcast. But I would have believed that Hendrix probably wrote the song until I started researching it and started actually looking up musicians and all that stuff. And I was like, huh, no kidding. You know, and I probably heard the cover song. I was like, ooh, this is pretty groovy. But anyway, Dave Matthews covered it, and I used to love it. Well, a couple days ago, I put it on again. I was like, man, I'll bet I could learn how to play this, because the chords, it's a basic three-chord structure. And I played it. And
imagine
I remember, you know, I even
that.
Turned it up a little bit. And I got to kind of listening to it, and I noticed I wasn't rocking out to it as much as I used to. And I just kind of listened to it, and I'm like, I don't really know if there's any, like, thing really to that song. Like, he just kind of did it and bent his voice all over the place, and it's okay. Like, I still like it, but I used to think that it was just a total badass jam. But, you know, and then I kind of had this appreciation for, I think his name is Tim Reynolds. On the guitar, but then I listened to it again. I'm like, he's just got a bunch of effects and pedals. He's not even, doesn't seem to be, like, he's maybe got one or two cool moves. And that's kind of what I think of being a guitarist, especially if you can't tell how many moves.
It's what I mentioned earlier, no hooks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No hooks.
And, you know, the thing about Hendrix, though, is that a lot of things he doesn't get credit for that I've always enjoyed in his music. Everybody always talks about his guitar, and it's obvious that his guitar was just so remarkable. It's not even in a category of
yeah.
A song, you know?
He's number one in my list. He always
his vocals. I mean, everything he's saying. When you think about Little Red House, when you think of Little Wing, when you think of Along the Watchtower, Voodoo Child, all those songs. His vocals were, to me, outstanding just the same. And I know that Jimi Hendrix is not known for being a voice guy like, say, Sinatra or Dean Martin or somebody like that, or Tom Jones or somebody like that. But, I mean, Along the Watchtower, you get that lead in, and, I mean, his vocals in that tune, you know, when he hits that, and the wind began to howl, yay, and then he goes into that riff, it's like, holy shit, dude, where's this guy going, man? Purple Haze, same way. I've heard Purple Haze sang a billion times, and ain't nobody does it like Jimmy. And I still think his vocals has a lot to do with it. When he gets in there and does hit the Purple Haze, and I mean, and Red House, Little Red House, man, that is nothing but a straight-up blues song. And
that was
thank you for bringing that one up. But, yeah, good call.
Yeah, if you can't jam out in Little Red House, you just ain't paying no mind to damn music, because that song freaking rocks. And it doesn't rock from a tempo standpoint because it's a blues song. But, dude, if you're sitting there and somebody, you're shooting pool and somebody plays Little Red House, the whole damn place just stops and everybody starts singing the damn thing.
And just, well,
yeah,
I didn't know it was Little Red. I thought it was Red House.
It might be. I might be errant in that. There's a red house over yonder. Yeah, it's not Little Red House.
Yeah.
I don't know where I got the listener. That's where my baby stays.
I'll tie
yeah, you were
that.
Confusing
another,
it with the brick house.
Thing.
Little
like,
brick house is for you and me. And then you, and then probably further confusing it with Rick going, she's a brick house.
House. Rob Zombie,
well, he's got about
a brick house. That's just
every
awesome.
Time he plays
have you ever
those
heard
songs,
that?
So every time Hendrix plays those, it's slightly different. Like, he put out a blues album, and there's a blues twang to every one of those songs. And Red House, I don't know if you heard me, Red House was by far my favorite Hendrix song. But there's a bunch of them up there, but Red House was definitely number one in my book. Probably second might have been Little Wing. I don't know. It's kind of fuzzy for me there, but every album I've got of Hendrix, Red House is slightly different. And he can just do it whenever. You know he's not practicing that crap. He just puts his bandana on, puts a couple of hits of acid on that thing, and get on stage and just go to hell with it, you know?
Yeah, and that's good.
I'm still trying to figure out how all that shit worked with him with the LSD back then. Of course, I was a few years behind from versioning of that stuff. But, I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? But whether it was Blotter or Dot was just kind of sort of that thing. That was the stories about him doing that kind of stuff. And, of course, I didn't really think Macho Man used to do some of that stuff because he'd be like, oh, why was I talking about that?
Yeah. Randy was on his own plane, too, man. Randy was... The cream will rise.
But Tim and I were in a meeting yesterday, and we had people. I was wondering if that wasn't the same case. They specifically said, this location, this process is what you do. Well, how are we going to do this if we park over here? We didn't even talk about that place. Yeah, speaking of acid.
I'm going to throw another one out there real quick while it's top of mind. You know, in the late 90s, there seemed to be like this group of bands that all sounded the same, okay?
All right, well, and, we went through that with the 80s. Hair rock,
Temple Pilots.
But, I mean, in the 90s, we had, like, what was it, the Goo Goo Dolls and, God, Jesus, there was a bunch of Smashing Pumpkins where they all kind of had that same kind of sound to them.
Oh, God, yes. I remember, just for the record, had no real TV. 87 to 93, I was overseas. It wasn't like you got cable at our bases back then. And you had Armed Forces Radio Television Service as your only source. So in 93, it would have been mid-93, second half of mid-93. Got to Hawaii, and a dude had MTV on. I didn't even know what the fuck was going on musically. I fall in that whole category there. I can say 93 MTV, second half of 93 MTV. I was like, what fresh kind of hell is this?
Yeah, what happened? There's a particular group that again, when you talk about songs that haunt you, this group, everywhere you go, their music sucks. Their lyrics sucks. Every damn word they use has to finish in a vowel. All right? They almost sound like a sophisticated Adam Sandler when they sing, but it's Matchbox 20. I swear to Christ, if I hear that damn "It's 6 a.m. and I'm lonely," if I hear that song
now,
one more
time. Now, wait a minute. I'm Matchbox 20. Isn't that vocalist from Matchbox 20 the guy that's heavy into the UFO stuff?
I am the foggiest.
Have I got the right band?
Is that the
but
band we like,
somebody told me.
Is that Matchbox 20?
I believe Rob Thomas. Is that right?
I just had to restart my laptop, so sorry. I can't do a real quick Google.
That's when Carlos Santana was doing a bunch of music with a bunch of guys that were popular then, and he had that
God, I feel like that was a little.
Give me your
that,
heart,
yeah.
Make it real, or just forget about it.
That song. God, I hated that song.
God, Jesus H, man. And Carlos Santana, if you can cut the vocals out of it, it's a good tune. Because Carlos Santana just tears it apart, man. I mean, Carlos Santana's a legend, for God's sake. But then you
that cat can play. And I think people forget how Neil Sean was from Journey was playing with him when he was young. And Neil Sean,
Tom.
People remember. They talk about the 80s hair bands, and people remember Neil Sean's hair when he was with Santana. Holy crap.
But that whole, all that Matchbox 20 stuff, and if there's a song from the late 90s that sucks, chances are it's the Matchbox 20 song. And as a matter of fact, if you go back and watch the American Pie movies, the movies are funnier than hell, but the soundtracks are Christ awful because they're populated with a bunch of those types of groups. And it just that whole batch. And if I sat down and actually concentrated on it, I could come up with the names of the groups, but Matchbox 20, Goo Goo Dolls, all of those guys, it's just like, Christ, just make it stop, man. Because they all sounded the same. They all had that kind of vocal to them. And it just, I don't know, it just did not resonate with me. And perhaps it's got something to do with my age. But just the same, at the same time, there were groups out there like Cake. Sometimes I think I'm the only Cake fan out there until I actually talk about it. Cake rocks the hell out. Those are the guys that sang The Distance. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. Those guys, that whole Fashion Nugget album was incredible.
I had to mute there because I was looking up Matchbox 20, and no, it's not the band I was thinking of, but yes, I agree. I do not like them. And then I went back, and you were talking about Cake, and I definitely concur. I used to love that song. That's one I would crank up, and the neighbors come over and pound on my door and tell me to shut the stuff off.
Cake is awesome, man. David, and their song, their music, again, going back to the Van Halen thing, their music is party music. When you turn them on, that's the kind of music you do housework to. It's the kind of music you drink beer and party to. Because it really has, what's it? I want a girl with a long dress and a short,
yeah.
Or what's it? Long jacket. Yeah.
Long jacket. Yeah. That
that's
is
like
a good
Beck.
One. You
Beck's
got
the
it.
The one that came out of that. Time.
Why am I hearing again? Oh my God! I just drew a blank on the name. I had him in my head. See, something about tall, thin woman in a black dress.
Oh, talking about the Hollies.
Yeah,
the Hollies.
She was a tall, cool woman in a black dress. Yeah, that's the Hollies.
Tell me that song did not have a vibe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's another pool shooting, beer drinking, cigarette smoking music. That tune's great. Anything the Hollies put out was pretty solid, though, man. And God forbid somebody play, you get some beer in you and you're not feeling it, and somebody plays He Ain't Heavy. If that song doesn't destroy you.
Okay, it wasn't Matchbox 20. It was Blink 182, time to launch.
There you go. There you go, dude. There's another one. Excellent. Good call, Todd. Blink 182. Perfect. Yes.
Fit that same window of Matchbox 20. No wonder I confused the two.
All that stuff is just abysmal. Can't stand it. And they still play the shit 20 years later. It's like, man, cut it off. But then nobody plays Cake. And Cake's got some...
And I will tell you right now, I got no clue whom the hell that is.
Who, Cake? Oh, God, dude.
I'm telling you right freaking now that now you might send me a song and be like, oh, okay, I heard it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I cannot put a name to a song there. Because
wow.
Couldn't do it. You could put winning lotto numbers in front of me.
Cake is awesome, man. Cake's right up there with Beck. Beck's another one that doesn't get the credit. Dude, I love some Beck. Turn on the two turntables and a microphone, those kind of tunes, man. That's good shit. But
no,
they just
kind
of have... They don't get the radio
now. And here's Todd, when I heard Beck, my thought was, oh, Jeff Beck just did an album with under Beck. Yeah, it wasn't what it was, I might have flicked a mental switch and just turned that the hell off.
Dude, looks like Dana Carvey is up there just throwing down. Because he came out with
Loser. Oh, my God, wait a minute. So you want to talk about the look like, hold on. Martin Short, the lead singer, Don't You Forget About Me, blah, 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 blah.
Well,
tell me that
mind.
Dude didn't look like Martin Short.
Yeah.
I never could separate the two in my head visually.
Smash Mouth is who I view Matchbox 20 with.
Yes.
Smash.
There's another one.
Don't
see?
Yes.
More of the same. Much like a lot of the damn 80s hair bands.
Yeah.
The only reason I really like Cinderella as far as 80s hair bands is because the vocals reminded me of Nazareth.
Yeah, Tom Kiefer stills rocked out to this day, man. I saw Cinderella live. I was up against the stage for them, and they put on a show like you would not freaking imagine. They were incredible live. Yeah, I rock out to some Cinderella. I'll go ahead and throw myself on my sword with that one. Cinderella, they were one of my favorite hair metal bands. They rocked out.
Tim, do you remember Kelly jumping in on a meeting when I referenced some Cinderella lyrics? He jumped right in. He knew who I was talking about. I said I was part of the Seams, Bad Seamstress Blues. And damn, even Kelly, and Kelly will throw you off because he's got this low-key he's not monotone, but he's low-key. His Texas will come through, and it's funny as shit. He even fouled up our IPA. By the way, he said something with a little bit of his Texas came through accent-wise. They completely heard a different thing than what he said. It was freaking hilarious. But Kelly's so low-key, and he's pulling out like some Cinderella. And I'm like, damn. Damn! Because, you know, I mean, he's not Ben Stein monotone and stuff, but he was like, it was just, it was damn near Ben Stein talking about, yeah, now that's a metal. Am I wrong, Tim?
No. No, man. I think I do remember that, too. But,
That was, like, freaking great.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to throw one out there. I think I got skipped over once or twice. One that, I don't know, you guys can fill in your input. I don't really have much to back it up with, but Sublime, I couldn't stand them. And it was
really?
Because everybody, again, at the college time, everybody played the hell out of that. And I couldn't stand it. I just couldn't stand it. And everybody that I knew, I was the absolute only person that couldn't stand that song. And, there was another one where he's like, I can play that guitar like a riot. And I'm like, Oh, it was so ridiculous. I couldn't stand it. And, you know, I was making fun of that part, and my friend was like, he's like, it's a joke. It's the whole thing is you can't play the game. It's like, I don't care if it's a joke or not. It's terrible. It's just all terrible.
I don't care. My dog runs away. I don't get angry at the bills I have to pay. Don't get angry at my mom smokes pot. I rock out.
Because what's sad is that joke was done decades before by Cheech and Chong. I only know three chords. I'm a rock star. Just saying.
Blind Melon chilling. Got to give him the harmonica. Well, shit, guys. I tell you what, we're already up to that time already. These are the shows I dig the most, when we can get in here and just cut an ass. We've been on a roll with some good shows here lately where we've just been kind of, shooting from the hip with it and everything. And tonight was another one, man. Tonight we could have, hell, we got enough gunpowder to go on for another damn show for this one here, because Christ knows we didn't even get into, like, I said at the beginning of the show, there's some obvious ones, like the low-hanging fruit, like Beatles. I don't know what it is. I must have missed the boat on the Beatles. I just do not get it. I still do this day.
They have some great tunes, but I don't think they're strictly speaking shit that's on air today.
Didn't age well or whatever. I just could not. I still to this moment. Just cannot. I listen to Beatles music, and I'm going, okay, Dave, billions of people love these guys. What am I missing? There's something I'm missing here. What is it I'm missing? And the more I listen to it, the more I don't like it. So perhaps it was one of those you had to be there things. Because let's face it, there are certain groups that we used to listen to in our youth, and now we turn it on now. It's like, man, cut that shit off. You kind of outgrow it. But I don't know what it is about the Beatles. I just could not, to this day, just can't get my arms around it. So, I mean, hell, we could do a whole other show.
The other thing this meeting is meant, or this show, I said meeting, oh, for fuck's sake, tells you how my life is. I ain't apologizing for the FFS. And just for the record, to clarify for those that are asking for grammar clarification, it's O for fuck sakes. It's just that the fuck and sakes are said so fast together that you sometimes think there's an S attached to the fuck. There's not. O for fuck's sake. It's just we say it, oh, for fuck's sake. and it sounds like, yeah. So just grammatically, when you go to do an email, you're also allowed to use FFS. But, yeah, so we can talk about songs that kill bands by overplay.
So, now, hey, there you go. Because, damn, if there ain't plenty of those. Oh, Christ almighty, yeah. Yeah, we can go for days on that. So maybe perhaps next week. I got to look at the calendar. And
And oh, by the way, go ahead and start looking up fast food franchises. Help yourself.
Yeah, so that way we can get the poo meter ratioed out with that. Maybe we could have a damn show on
the residuals
of fast food.
God.
Because there are ones.
For better or for worse, and you can flush the idea, but I've got a new rating system.
It would be a poo-worthy show. That is for damn certain. So we might go on and do that. Plus, we have the PFK.
How many baby wipes?
South Park.
How many baby wipes for this song?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
we
man,
have like,
variations of it. Oh, we can. Oh, Lord. Go, keep going,
yeah.
Dave. We're on the timeline.
Yeah, we can have a wipe system with the fast food chains. No, I think it's a fantastic idea. So, Tim, hit me with some parting shots. We got about maybe 5 minutes we can do this in.
Yeah, I'm not going to take up much time. I don't really have any major parting shots. So I'm looking to build a chicken coop this weekend. That's high on the priority list. It's the summertime feel is getting to us, so it's time to get that going. We got the chickens that are growing up. I've got a couple of the projects lined up. Hoping I can get most of it knocked out before the summer ends. So I'm just looking forward to shearing day, I guess, getting geared up for that. A couple other things going on. Had a kids' concert tonight that we had absolutely zero clue about until about 3:55 or so. So we got to rushing out the door and doing that this evening. That was always fun. So, but it's been fun hanging out. I love tonight's topic. It was a good time. It went by pretty quick, and I'll be glad to do it again next week.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, because tonight is fun, fun show, dude. Had a lot of fun doing tonight. Good to have you aboard, man. Tell everybody out there we said hello. Give them our best. Todd, hit me.
Well, I got to say, Tim, excellent. I'm building that chicken coop. The
damn it.
Yes, I beat you to it.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. I'm a shell of my former self.
Yeah, the yolk's on you.
Yes.
Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Really, I know I kind of use that phrase repeatedly. I mean it. No joke. Make it happen. Dave.
Outstanding. Good to have you aboard this evening, man. It's been good having you back. Having a lot of good shows having you here. Good to jaw the way we do. For me, real quick, as a lot of you guys know, 2023 has been kind of an unkind year to yours truly, and ran into a little rough seas again last week. And I tell you, I don't know what it is about bad luck this year, but man, oh man, oh man, if there is.
I hear a hee-haw song.
Yeah, dude, it has been
bad luck and no luck at all. I shit you not.
Yeah. It has been something else, and I guess I really should be keeping a blog of all the damn ratty stuff that keeps happening this year. Crazy, but
No. I'm going to tell you seriously how you overcame each and every hurdle.
Yeah, and just to kind of go back and reference to it when times go bad again, you know what I mean? Just kind of a bad news encyclopedia, if you will, to kind of keep yourself on track. But, You know, at 53 years old, I talked to my folks, and thank Christ I still have them here, because they came to my rescue, and in many, many ways they came to my rescue. And the unconditional, unquestioned, "we got you," is priceless to me. And I don't know, I'm not a real lucky guy when it comes down to winning lotteries and that kind of stuff, but I can tell you when it comes down to my folks, somehow or another, I hit the jackpot. And so, yeah, big, big, huge thanks. I got Sunday to go spend with my mom, hung out, had a great time over there with mom and dad. But, you know, it's amazing how they were just there, Johnny on the spot, and made a bad situation better. And, you know, it's just hard to describe how nice it is to have that kind of support where there's no questions asked. You know, they just know that you need a hand, and they reach down and they help you out. So, you know, the old saying, there's a time when your parents stop picking you up. That's bullshit. At 53 years old, they might not be physically picking me up, but they are damn sure mentally picking me up. So, hats off to my folks. I speak about them often on the show, and they came to my rescue this week, and I cannot say enough thanks. So, big tip of the hat to mom and dad for doing what they do and keeping me afloat sometimes. Yep. When the seas get rough. It's good to know you've got
Madam
flying and pull you out of the waves, you know what I mean? So, with
Madam
all that, I've got
cool
about
folks.
2 minutes to get my fat ass inside and cut off this broadcast. So I got the boogie, and the weather is starting to kind of get a little janky too. So this wind's picking up kind of bad. So let's run on in, and we'll cue in the old Pulpy British Blade. That blows. Another one-liner. We're on it. All right, hustle up, Dave. Come on, dude. You got to get to the computer. There we go. And hopefully, back to the internet still has me. Yeah, still got internet. All right. So, we're in good shape. Gentlemen, appreciate tonight's show. Wonderful job. Always appreciate the conversation and the kinship. You guys are the best. And all of you, I know, British Lady. Everybody out there listening, we thank you much, and we will see all of you next week here at Pop Culture Stars. You guys be safe, and thank you again for being here with us.
I'm Pop British Lady.
British Lady. We got a minute, baby doll. Where are you at, British Lady? She's a Beatles fan.